Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Fried fam, first ever Unfried. We have a TV personality with us today, which I am very excited about. And then I'm excited about it because one of the things that comes up a lot around here is there's a belief in a lot of burnt out people's brains that somehow money and success prevent you from experiencing burnout. And that couldn't be further from the truth. My own burnout happened when I was at the height of my success up until that point. I was at the best point of my career on paper, and that's really when everything fell apart. So today we have with us Aria Johnson, who is a TV personality, celebrity voice coach, motivational speaker, and host of the podcast Behind the Glitz. I just love that title. She is best known as the music expert on Beverly Hills Pawn, the number one show on Reels channel for 5 seasons, and it aired in 83 countries. As a former recording artist, Aria founded The Golden Voice, an artist development and vocal coaching firm committed to helping young artists make it in the music business, which has contributed to 50 million album sales. Aria is now a keynote speaker teaching how to perform at a peak level, minus the burnout. And it doesn't say this in here, but also like she opened for Ludacris at one point. So I just need to throw that in there at the end, just to throw it in there at the end.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I'm a mediocre golfer. That's really important. And I go to Top Golf and I just like, you know, have a couple cocktails and just like rail away my problems, you know, every once in a while.
I'm also a mediocre golfer. Nice to meet you.
Oh my gosh. And guys, you know, Kate and I are actually now friends. So I'm really, really excited to be here. I'm a huge fan of the show. She has the most amazing guests. And just to be able to be here and talk to you guys, I can relate on so many levels what you've been through because I've been through the same thing. And it doesn't matter who you are. We all are just people going through, trying to make it.
Well, just trying to make it through the day. Stuff. Yeah. That's like already a mic drop moment. Like we are all just people going through stuff.
Yeah. I used to think, you know, I had a friend who would be like, oh yeah, this lady can go cry about it in her Lamborghini because she was depressed. And I'm like, are you serious? Like have some compassion because depression, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a lot easier in the Lamborghini. I wish I had one too. I mean, I was just on a reality show, guys, but you know, but the reality is depression and anxiety, they don't discriminate. Burnout doesn't discriminate. At the end of the day, it all, like for me, it stemmed from a place of not enoughness. Like, why did I even want to be on TV? Why did I want to be famous? And I thought that I didn't want to be famous. I thought, I just want to sing. Like, I started out as a singer. I just want to make a difference. I want to change the world through my music. But then when I gave that up, because I had not burned out in the way, the sense that we're going to talk about it today, but I was burned out on the business, the whole Me Too thing. Like, it was just out of control. And then I figured I'd give acting a try for, you know, a little while, a couple of years, and I landed the show as the music expert. And I didn't realize what it was like when you're pursuing something like that, but it's not really your passion. And so then you're just kind of trying to pursue this fame. It's kind of like if you have a job and you're just pursuing money, but you don't love it. And that, it takes a hit. It takes a toll on you because you're trying to be somebody that you're not. Like I was trying to be this skinny actress and every day they're telling me to lose weight and, you know, they're checking my nails. I mean, I remember a friend of mine who was an executive producer I didn't wear my fake eyelashes one day to the one of the seasons. I wanted to start out and just wear my normal eyelashes. And she was like, we had like 5 people call from, I don't know, wherever, the back room and say, where are your eyelashes? I'm like, oh no, these are just my eyelashes. Like, I have long eyelashes naturally. And she's like, no, we want the fake ones. I'm like, oh, but like, I've been using Latisse, like mine are long enough. And they said, no, we want it. And I said, I feel like the eyelashes look ridiculous. She goes, no, we want you to look ridiculous.
That's
like,
the
that's
point.
The character. And I was just like, okay. You know, now I wear them for me, right? Like now yeah. I'm doing whatever the hell I want for me. And I think that's really important, ladies and gentlemen. Just do you. Like, so let's just stop trying to be these perfect versions of ourselves, the perfect mom, and throw the Pinterest perfect parties and be a certain amount of fit to fit in our high school jeans. Like, no, I threw that shit away. Sorry. I gave it to one of my tiny friends. I gave her like 20 pairs of expensive jeans because I don't want to look at them anymore. Like, I just want to be a human and just live my life and be happy.
And I don't want to be a character.
Yeah.
And you were cast as a character in a reality. You guys, reality TV show is not reality. So you're cast as a character in a reality TV show. But how many of us, raising hand emoji, how many of us have cast ourselves as characters in our own lives?
It's true. Like the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect corporate baddie, the perfect entrepreneur. I think it's something that women suffer from more than men. Men suffer in a different way. But for women, our image is so important. And we don't do it for us. Like when, if you do it for you, like I am pro. Look, I'm wearing makeup right now. I have fake eyelashes on for me. But if you're doing it because you feel like you have to be someone for something else, it eats away at your soul.
And we don't even know we're in these characters a lot of times.
No, like the making the cookies at the last minute for the PTA and when you're already exhausted and you've been making, you know, you got up at 6, got your kids ready for school, you worked all day, you get home from work, you pick them up from aftercare, and then it's like, you know, dinner and then bed, or dinner, bath, bed, you know, you're making their lunches and it's like 10 o'clock and you're finally plopping down on the couch with your like, second or third glass of wine and now you have to make cookies and you're like, why did I say yes to that?
Yeah. I think I was just thinking about this. I wasn't thinking about the word character, but we've talked about masking and unmasking, and in the neurodivergent community, it's really common to choose a caricature of yourself that's acceptable by people, right? But I was just thinking about this recently because I am not one to like get ready. My readiness right now is lipstick just before we come on and Zoom's like slightly update my appearance feature so that I don't have to put on foundation and like that. That's and big glasses because it's a distraction. Really, I love glasses, but also they're a distraction. I don't have any eye makeup on. I'm not doing any of it. And a large part of this stems from, and I just started thinking about this week, so this is funny, but stems from this idea that I learned, I must have been 7, 8, 9, 10 during that time, that high maintenance women were bad. On some level, there was,
ooh,
right? No, like no to the high maintenance woman. Like, and so I created this character of a person who could shower and get ready and get out of the house really fast. And I didn't have to care about what I looked like because I was this character of someone who didn't need to get ready. And so I'm 41 years old. I don't really know how to do my makeup. Like I never actually learned. And then there's like TikTok and oh, this is, you look like you're in 2019 or 2016 or 1996. If you wear, I don't know what the differences are. I can't contour my life away. Like I don't know how to do any of those things. And part of my job now is to show up on stage. And I like getting dressed for it. I like the bright pink clothes. I enjoy it. But I have this internal fight or question about which character is real.
Oh, I just got full body goosebumps. Girl, I went through this so hard. I went to therapy over this. So I have some stuff, some thoughts. You want to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. I used to feel like, how can I be this empowered feminist and still want to be so glam, right? Am I doing this for other people? And I struggled with this because I used to do it for other people for so long. And the conclusion I came to, because I was like living in Bend, Oregon for a while, and I mean, everybody's in like flannels, no makeup, whatever. And I'm like, no, I refuse to change who I am for them. And who I am is I feel good wearing this. I like it. I don't care if people are talking smack and saying that I'm glamorous or over the top. It's for me, it really is. And it's like what my therapist said was, you know, ever since the beginning of dawn, like the Egyptian, think about like the Egyptian women, and they would put coal on their eyes and, you know, like fruit on their cheeks to make them red. It's always been something that people want to do. And she said, you're wearing a costume, whether you're in the sweats with no makeup and you're saying I don't give an F girl, or whether you're going full out. Because the reality is, like, it takes me on my normal makeup days, it takes me 5 to 8 minutes. I mean, really. Like right now I have eyelashes on, but that's just for fun. It took me an extra 15 minutes, whatever. So it's like, okay, an extra 5 to 8 minutes on the daily to throw on some foundation, some mascara, and some lips, or, you know, some blush. That's it. So like my therapist was like, you know what, Aria, you getting dressed up is giving other women permission to go over the top. Like, oh, Aria's going to be there. I can wear my new heels and no one's going to make fun of me. Because we all feel like we're afraid to show our light because people are going to hate on us. Because the truth is, when you know, in Australia, they call it the tallest poppy syndrome. When you stand out, you're going to get cut down. And I literally, you will not believe this, but over the weekend, I was sitting with a friend and she said that one of the guys was making a joke like, oh, we're going out on the boat. We should like put our faces on. And the other guy went, what? Oh, you know, like Aria, like let's put our faces on for the boat. And he was making fun of me. And this is a 47-year-old man. And it just kind of like pissed me off. Like, why do you care what makeup I wear? It's not like I'm going glam on the boat. I might just put on And even if I did, like F you. So what I realized was on the upside, most women and girls are going to actually, and most guys too, women are going to support you, like whatever you want to wear. You're playing a character, whatever clothes you put on. Because do you remember in the movie, what's the Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep movie? A Devil Wears Prada. Mm. Do you remember when Anne Hathaway's wearing that blue sweater? Have you seen it?
Yes, but I'm the worst at remembering movies.
And Anne Hathaway's like, oh, no, I'm not part of this. Like, it's before she went glam. It's like, I'm not part of this fashion. Like, I don't give a crap what I look like. And then Meryl Streep goes, oh, actually, that sweater that you got from the thrift store bin was actually 1982, you know, polyester,
couture
or whatever.
Couture, yeah.
Based on the couture of Dolce & Gabbana, that blue shade. So the reality is we're all buying into marketing. And so as shallow and dumb as that is, which it means nothing, wear what you want to wear. If you don't want to wear makeup, hell yeah. I don't wear makeup most of the time. You know what I mean? And then I do when I want to go out. Like, be you, and let's stop letting society tell us who we have to be and be ourselves. And that takes drawing boundaries and taking care of yourself and going on to the burnout conversation. Most of us burn out because we are trying to be something that we are not. We are trying to be the superwoman version of ourselves that we are told we have to be, because we are handed on a platter every single day, 22-year-old women that look a certain way and they're badasses in their career and all these things. And we're taught that, oh my gosh, if I'm like 42 and I'm not that person, then I'm failing. Oh, and I have kids now, so I need to even like do it better and be the best mom and be the best wife. You know, it's just this pressure that society puts on us so that we buy stuff and so we're distracted from what's really going on.
Well, and I think the interesting part of this, eventually I want to get back to the not enoughness, but this is all part of the same conversation. One of the things that really matters here is I think that for me, going through burnout and coming through the other side, a lot of that was the first time, for the first moments, because there were many of them over it's been 8 years and I'm still discovering shit about myself. We're talking about makeup right now. You know? So I just figured this out this weekend. I think that burning out and then recovering, part of it is this process of discovering who you are, because I don't think you can really know who you are, like really and truly know who you are and end up there, because you put stops in place and you put those boundaries in place when you really know who you are before you get to that place. And I'm going to say something that you all are not going to like.
Do it.
Every burnt out person I have ever met, myself included, I am not judging you. I am putting myself in this pile of people, has told me how self-aware they are. Let me tell you something. No, you're not. Because self-awareness in the brain, as a neuroscience term, is called interoception. And we are classically terrible at it, this group of people. We are classically terrible at it. We think we're self-aware, but what we are is character aware. We are aware of the chosen character that we think will get us the life that we want. The character we chose that said, if we play by this set of rules, and you're saying society, family, society, best friend, the five people you spend the most time with, whatever the influence is that taught you that this is the rule. Because my sister and I grew up in the same house. My sister is glam. She does full face and makeup most days. She looks amazing. She's always known how to do it. It's always been her thing. So we grew up in the same household and got completely different. We absorbed different pieces of the cultural narrative. So whatever cultural and familial narrative that you decided was important for your future success and happiness, you have to understand that you were wrong. And that the things that you think you are really aware of are parts of the character that you are acting out in order to get those things. They are not yourself.
I actually agree with you. And it took me burning out to figure that out because I used to think I was so self-aware.
Yeah.
And what I realized after I burned out was like, I didn't know what self-love was. I would grind myself into the ground, like working 12-hour days, not eating enough to look a certain way, like not eating enough because I had to look that way. And I love food. It wasn't like I never had like an on paper eating disorder, but it was those same eating disordered eating behaviors because it was my job. Like, and even there at my skinniest, I was, you know, like when I was, my hair was falling out when I was 120 pounds. I'm 5'4". So it's not like I was 105, but what I'm saying is like, that was not my body type. My hair was falling out. Like I was miserable. And so I agree with you. I thought that I was self-aware, but I was doing things for other people. I was holding it when I have to go to the bathroom. I love that quilt that you have where it says, yeah. What does it say?
Pee when you have to pee. That's massive shout out to my fried listener who made that and sent that in.
Yeah. So it says pee when you have to pee, right?
Yeah.
But like we did things like that or skipping meals or just not taking care of myself. And I learned through the burnout, I didn't have a choice and I didn't learn right away. It took me 5.5 years. Like it's been 5.5. It'll be 6 years in July since I burned out and ended up in the ER bleeding from the throat. Mine wasn't just mine was also a health issue. So it was a burnout with like, I literally collapsed, ended up in the ER, bleeding from the throat. I've had, you know, 12 diagnoses. It took 23 doctors and like all the thousands of pills and, you know, pharmaceuticals versus natural pills, like trying to cure what was going wrong with my body. And so I was like, real like holding on to my power. Like I refused to be this sick person when in reality it was like my body was like, slow the F down and take care of yourself. And it's not a luxury. I used to think that self-care was a luxury. Like, oh, it's like taking a bubble bath. And like, I'm sorry, but like hard workers don't do that. You know, I'm a hard worker. I'm like a machine. I'm like military style. And I know a lot of you out there work that hard. I mean, people listening, like you might have 2-3 jobs just to support your kids. Like you don't have a choice. And so you're grinding, but there are things we can do that I learned over time that don't have to be the bro science of an hour-long morning routine. Like people are like, are you kidding me? An hour every day? I don't have an hour. Like I wake up and my kids to kids screaming. You know,
or puking, or peed the bed, or
I didn't sleep last night.
Yeah.
Like I can't even go to the bathroom alone. Like yeah. So some of the techniques that I like to share with people are really like small things that you can do. And it's interesting because I've heard you a lot say like breath work's not going to get you out of burnout. And I couldn't agree more, but it is one little thing that's quick that you can do in the moment. If you're having a panic attack, you can slow down your breath. And I've heard people be like, oh, that doesn't work on me. And I'm like, well, the science shows it works on 100% of people to at least slow down your heart rate, right? Like divers use it to slow down their heart rate when they're free diving. You know, just breathing in, holding, and then breathing out longer than you breathed in. Like I just learned a new one. I mean, there's box breathing, all of that stuff. But a new one I do all the time now is in for 3, hold for 3, out for 3, because it just, you're not counting long enough for your brain to get distracted. But I do that all throughout the day. I'll stop and stretch. I'll get up from my desk and just kind of like move my body. Those are things that you can do. You can walk to the water cooler. You know, those are things that you don't do when you're grinding and when you don't love yourself. And self-awareness is self-love, which is self-compassion. And a concept that really kind of moved me throughout this process was reparenting. Because I have a child. I have a 7.5-year-old, and I'm like, God, would I ever like skip breakfast for her because I'm in a hurry? Like, hell no. Of course you're feeding your child. Why am I doing that to myself? Grabbing a bar on the way out the door? Like, no, my body needs nutrients. Like, I need, you know, in the mornings I have eggs and vegetables because I have to eat like that now. I can't eat just the toast because my stomach can't deal with it. So I need all of the rainbow colors of the vitamins from the fruit and the vegetables. And, you know, it's easier to just take a supplement, you know, do a protein shake. But for me, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And the self-abuse that we don't even realize we're doing, it's so glorified in this society, I really believe.
Say that again.
It is glorified in this society for you to abuse yourself. For you to work 12-hour days, for you to say, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead like Diddy. Well, let's see what happens to Diddy now. You know, it's not and women especially, like, we're not designed to work on that 24-hour cycle. We're on a 28-day cycle. And so, like, there are times of the month where we need an hour extra of sleep a night. But we're like, oh, no. Every night I only get the, like, 6-7 hours. Like, no, we are going to burn out. The 4 to 5 hours of sleep is what you need physically, right? And then the rest of that sleep, the next 3 hours or 4 hours, that's your emotional sleep. And what happens to a lot of women is that they emotionally burn out. And for me, it was both. It was just like for lack of a better word, it was a shit show. But like a lot of, you know, women, they just like what they call have a nervous breakdown or a midlife crisis or, you know, a quarter life crisis. But the reality is it's your body's been whispering to you this whole time, like, hey, maybe you should slow down. Oh, no, I'm superwoman. I've got this. Maybe you should slow down. And then you get a cold and you're not recovering as fast. And then all of a sudden you break.
Like, well, let's talk about self-awareness. Self-awareness, by definition, is literally being aware that your body is telling you something and responding to it. If you've been ignoring yourself for a long time, once again, you're not being self-aware. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening here. That's just not what's happening here. So my self-awareness, what I realized over time was that my self-awareness back then was, I know a lot of my faults and I will tell you about them before you can call me out on them, so that you know that I know all the ways that I'm not good enough. That was my self-awareness. Let me tell you all the ways I shove my foot in my mouth, I talk too much, I whatever the hell, you know? That was my self-awareness. I will judge myself before you have the chance to judge me. And that's was me being like, well, I'm really self-aware, so I know where I fuck up and where I'm terrible and where I'm awful and where I'm whatever. But something that you said in the very beginning is this idea that so many of us grapple with of not enoughness. This is a consistent message through almost every podcast episode. It happens all the time. What the fuck?
I mean, it boils down to the greatest human need is to be loved. And to say, am I enough? And one thing I noticed on my show was that it didn't matter who you were because I had celebrities on my show. I was not a celebrity. I was just some girl that just finally landed a show. And they would be like, was that okay? How was I? And they'd be like, people would be sweating because there was a lot of people like that wanted to be celebrities that were like the guests on my shows. They're sweating. They're shaking. Was that okay? In between takes. I'm like, yeah, that was great. But I, you know, you think you're the only one that struggles with not enoughness, but you're not. Every single person struggles with not enoughness unless you had two super loving parents who always told you you were amazing and you didn't have a lot of trauma. And you're one of the rare people that if you really feel like you're enough, like I want to be that person. I struggle with it still. I struggle with the bully in my head. I have to do all kinds of techniques that I teach, you know, as well to calm the bully in my head, because the bully in my head is like, oh, well, that was stupid that you said that. Oh, you're such a klutz. You just felt like I'm very clumsy. I'm just like, I will trip over my own 2 feet. Like I'll be, when I wear flip-flops, it's a guarantee I'm going to flip, like trip over some stairs at some point. It's hilarious. Like, why don't I pick up my feet? I don't know. But it's the bullying that goes on. And so I've had to say, no, 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 you're human. And, or I say like in the reverse, no, 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 you're awesome. And here's why. And then I say 3 things. So we're constantly berating ourselves. And so that goes along with the abusing ourselves of the not eating and the not sleeping and the not taking care of ourselves. And so how do we get our self-esteem up? How do you have self-love? And the answer is that it starts with self-compassion. And compassion is like, if your best friend is exhausted, you'd be like, you know what, take a nap. I'll do the dishes for you. Like, I'll do your housework. Just come over and sleep.
Well, and somebody just said, because I know my listeners, I know them intimately at this point. Somebody just said, well, nobody's coming over to my house and doing my dishes, so I can't nap.
Yeah. And that's how we feel when we are not self-aware. That's how I felt too. I felt like there was no option. I still struggle with this to this day. Like, I'm not perfect because I learned it. I just had to learn to survive because I was so sick that I couldn't get out of bed. For like, I was bleeding from the throat. I couldn't talk. I thought I was going to die. So like, I had to learn that there is always time if you make it. Like, and I'm talking about like, if the dishes pile up, the world's not going to end. No police is going to come to your house and throw you in jail because your house is a pigsty. If you need the extra hour of sleep, you need the extra hour of sleep. And if you don't get it, and if you don't listen to those signs with your body, you will burn out. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So it's like you get to choose. You can be the victim, which I was for many, many, many years, the victim after I got sick. Why me? Why is this happening to me? Like, I'm a good person. It's not fair. Or you can take control and say, okay, all right, how can I fix this? How is this happening for me? What are the good things? And the glass is both half empty and half full. Both things are true. And whatever you focus on grows. And I'm not talking toxic positivity, right? There's real things. People die. People get divorced. People lose their jobs. People lose their houses. All of that is very, very real. I'm not saying pretend you're Pollyanna in the midst of hell. I'm just saying when you can get a grasp of like, okay, maybe I can see a little light at the end of the tunnel, then if you focus on that light, maybe it'll grow. Maybe you leave your house messy and maybe you talk to your partner and be like, this emotional load, this mental load is too much for me. Like, there was a point with my husband where I was like, I'm not doing any more birthdays with the family. It's just too much. You do your family. I'm not doing birthdays or Christmas or Mother's and Father's Day. Like, you buy your own family gifts. And he's like, yeah, of course. Like, why didn't you just ask? Like, maybe he doesn't buy them sometimes. And I'm like, oh, did you get your mom anything? And he's like, no, but like that's his relationship with his mom. Why am I butting myself in there? Like, they're perfectly fine. She's not mad at me. But I thought, because my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so I thought it was my responsibility to do everything. And after I burned out, I was like, wow. Absolutely yeah. No way. And so you have to negotiate. There's single moms out there going, oh, well, I'm alone. And for you, I salute you. I think single moms are heroes. I think you're my angels. And I have like 4 or 5 friends who are single moms, and they are just rock stars.
Well, but this goes back to what you were saying before. Like, we're told this is the thing. Oh, you're a rock star. Oh, you can handle it. So you say that to yourself. Oh, I'm a mm-hmm. rock star. I'm a warrior. I can handle it. And these single mothers are like, you think I'm a rock star? I'm falling apart. Mm. I'm falling apart. So what can I do in this situation? There is nobody. If I mm-hmm. sleep instead of doing the dishes and let them pile up, at some point, I'm going to have to still do the damn dishes. Like, they're not getting done otherwise. My child is 4 and there's nobody else that lives here.
Yeah. And that's how you feel in the moment. And that would be true. But also what's true is that if you're going on 5-6 hours of sleep for a week, you're a hot mess versus if you just let yourself have that extra hour of sleep, and maybe tomorrow spending the extra 20 minutes on the dishes would be less of a big deal, less of a burden. So it's deciding the priorities of like, we are taught that we cannot fail and that we are taught that housework is moral. I used to think, like, with my laundry piling up that I was failing. Like, there is no morality to housework. There is no morality to, like, having the perfect house. Like, we need to get off Instagram, guys. Like, nobody lives like that. Like, I know influencers, they clean up a corner of their house and they shoot it. Perfect. They don't, nobody lives like that, you know?
Not so, anybody that doesn't have live-in help anyway.
Right. And so what I would say to those women who are saying, I can't do it. Like, I've had these conversations with my single mom friends. Like, I'm it. Like, if shit hits the fan, like, there is nobody coming to save me. Well, look, there's nobody coming to save any of us when it comes to our mental health or our physical health. Doctors can't do it. Your psychologist can't do it. It all boils down to you. And how much we love ourselves is how many minutes a day we choose to put toward ourselves. And everybody has 30 seconds. Everybody has 2 minutes. It's what we would say to a guy dating us who doesn't call us back or text us. We'd be like, oh, shut up. Like, everybody has 30 seconds. Well, you not getting that text is the same thing as you not taking a minute to, like, go to the bathroom when you have to. It takes you like 2 minutes. Everybody has 2 minutes. And so it's kind of like reframing, because all of the tips that I could give you guys, I mean, I have lists of things that have worked for me, but all of those don't mean jack if you don't have a reframe, a mental reframe of that you're worth it and that it's the oxygen mask on the plane scenario, which we all know, but yet we don't do it with ourselves. Like, I am not, if let's just say I'm a single mom, I'm not taking care of that kid better by killing myself. You know, like, with even just with me, like, I'm snapping at my daughter. I'm snapping at my husband. Like, I'm not my best self. And I'm not talking about, like, let's all get 12 hours of sleep a night. I'm just talking about basic needs. What is it going to take to have my basic needs met? And that is eating healthy, taking care of your body, sleeping. I mean, just the basics, right? And, you know, with when your bills aren't paid, let's talk about real life. When people can't pay their bills, that is the most thing that is on your mind. That is, like, the biggest stressor. You're like, are you kidding me? I can't sleep. I can't pay my bills. My water's going to get shut off. So for you out there, fine, work and grind, but know that there is a time for rest. And at some point, take that time. And the biggest thing about us, if we're real honest with ourselves, is we don't ask for help.
Yeah.
There's somebody who loves you, who will help you. There is somebody. When my daughter was born, I had postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression. This is before the burnout. And I had moved to Bend, Oregon alone from LA. I'd kind of quit the TV business. And all my neighbors were like, oh, we'll watch the baby take a shower. And my husband was traveling 3 months a year. So I was a single mom for 3 months a year. It's not the same, I know, but that's what it felt like in the moment. I mean, and it was 5 feet of snow and I'm shoveling the driveway and I've got my dog and my daughter and I'm walking the dog in the snow, you know, because it's yapping, like, and my clients can hear it while I'm working. And I'm blessed enough to work from home. But my daughter's screaming and I'm dealing with all of this and people offer to help. And I said, no, I said, no. So, like, if you're at home and you're hitting that rock bottom, make a list just right now. Well, if you're driving, you know, do it later, write down three people who you think might help you if you asked, and then keep that list in your notes. And then if you hit that kind of wall situation, like, just reach out. You might owe them a favor later or feel like you owe them a favor, but honestly, people are like, people love doing things for other people. It makes them feel good. I took away my neighbors feeling good to watch my daughter. I took away the gift that they were giving me, but would have, like, I would be giving them a gift if I would have let them watch her. They get to be with a newborn. They love it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important to say that it's okay to ask people and for people to say no too. I was having this conversation with a friend this week and she was like, well, and then I asked somebody for something and I thought they were going to show up for me and they didn't. And I'm so disappointed. It's like, well, listen, just because one person doesn't show up one day for one particular thing because they were scheduled for something else at the same time doesn't mean that you can't go back to that person a different time. Doesn't mean that they're not available to help with something else. Doesn't mean that. And I want you guys to go back to, there's a Straight From Kate episode about how to ask for things. There's also an episode with Heather Hansen about self-advocacy. I want you to go back to those two episodes if you struggle with this, because a lot of times you think you're asking for help, but it, just like the self-awareness, that shit ain't working the way you think. If you walk into a room and you start dropping hints like, oh, I'm so tired, I have so much to do, and then walk out, you're like, well, I told people I needed help. And I'm like, no, you didn't.
Right.
Is it annoying as hell that in a household, when you've taken responsibility for something as you've taken responsibility for a job, like your husband's mother's gifts on Mother's Day, you know, you've taken responsibility for this job because it's a cultural assumption, because of all these other things. And now you have to give it back. You have to give the job back to someone or give it away to someone because you don't want to hold it anymore. You do have to tell people. They are not going to start noticing something because you decided you don't want to do it anymore, because people's brains don't work that way. And there's the fair play cards you can use. There are ways to have these conversations, but I know it's annoying to say, hey, that I don't want this to be my job anymore. This has to be your job. But we have to have those conversations, because at some point there was an unspoken agreement made that this was your job and you participated in this unspoken agreement. And now your partner's brain, male, female, or non-binary royalty, this is taken from Robin Peloton. She always says that, right? Male, female, or non-binary royalty. I love it. No matter how you identify, if there are two people living together and one of them always takes out the trash, the other person's brain becomes very efficient, because that's what brains are designed to do, you guys, and eliminates all thoughts of trash. It doesn't see the trash. It doesn't notice the trash. It doesn't smell the trash. It doesn't think about the trash. The trash does not exist to them, because it is inefficient for two humans to be monitoring the trash. And for whatever reason, you have taught this partner that you are doing the trash. So they eliminate it. If you want these things to change, you have to give the job back and you have to say, I'm going to stop noticing it now. It's your job to notice it. Yes, you will probably have to remind them. And yes, it will be annoying to you, but it doesn't happen overnight. My husband, a few months ago, decided we were going to do the farmer's dog route for our dog food. And we definitely do not use the appropriate amounts, because I think my dog would murder us if we tried to feed her that amount of food, because it's not enough. So she would stamp her feet. So we feed her more than what they allot, which means we have to order ahead of time always, which means when we are 8 to 10 days away from the bottom, we need to place an order. The last four times, I did not choose to order farmer's dog, but I own being the noticer in my house most of the time for most tasks. So for the past four times we've needed to order it, I said, hey, I need you to hop on. I don't even have the login for the account. I had nothing to do with this decision. You need to log on and make sure the dog has her food. Twice we've had to go out and buy food and cook things to make sure our dog had food, because it didn't come in time. So this last time I said, listen, I need you to know that I'm done monitoring this. I will not be cooking dog food in between. This is you chose to do this. This thing belongs to you. I'm not doing it anymore. So you need to monitor it. And he went, okay.
That easy, right?
I have a good partner. Not everybody's partner is going to be okay with that. I get that. But you, if you have taken responsibility for something, and you might say, they gave me responsibility, no one ever did it, so I had to do it. If no one did it and then you took it on, that means you took responsibility for it. If you've taken responsibility for a task that you no longer want, you have to have the conversation many, many, many multiple times until you're annoyed as shit about it before somebody else will take it over, because their brains have excised it. Because that's efficient. Just so you know. It's annoying, but it's true.
Yeah. And if you're with a guy who practices weaponized incompetence, it's a different conversation where they pretend not to know how to do anything. Then yeah, you're in the mommy role and you have to train them. But that is hopefully not the situation. If it is, be aware of it. Oh, he's pretending to like burn the dinner so that he doesn't have to cook it, and eat burnt dinner. Like it will change. He's not going to want to eat burnt dinner every night. You know, and partnerships, sometimes you're going to deal with somebody acting like a teenager, which is exactly what that is. And maybe you have to raise that teenager or leave their ass. I'm not like promoting divorce. I'm just saying, like, a lot of women say, oh, my partner could never, like, oh my gosh, he just, like, he can't take care of the kids. Like, I don't trust, she wants to do a girls' weekend. Oh, I don't trust him with the kids. And I'm like, well, the only way to trust him with the kids is to stop controlling everything that he does, because yes, he's going to do it wrong. Yes, they're going to have the shoes backwards and the hair in dreads, and they're going to eat cereal and McDonald's, but you need your time away with your girlfriends. And as long as he doesn't kill them, you're fine. So we have to stop controlling the help. And that's what we do as women. Oh, no, no, no. We want the dishwasher like done this way. So then we reload it. Is anybody here like a dish, one of those dish ninjas? I mean, I certainly am. Like, I used to reload the dishwasher, and then I realized, wait, they're getting clean. Even just he'd put them in with food on them. They're still getting clean, and some of them aren't. And like, so what? What is wrong with me? Why am I being so controlling?
Leave them in. Let them go again. Who cares?
Now my theory is this. Okay, practice this with me. If someone else is cleaning my house, I'm happy. If someone else is cleaning our house, I'm happy. If someone else is cleaning their house because they live there too, you know, we're partners, I'm happy. I'm not going to control how they're doing it. I'm not going to teach him how to fold the towels. I'm going to accept that they're messy. And yo, I want him the Marie Kondo way where everything stands up. But guess what? Nothing has happened since he started doing the laundry, and they're just in there messy. He's doing his best. Like, it's completely demoralizing to somebody when you parent them, when they're your partner. So maybe just don't let it be done wrong. As long as it's done. And I'm not talking about like serious things where they're ordering the wrong thing, but even in that case, they can reorder it.
Yeah.
You know, we just have to let go of the control if we want the help to have the time so that we don't burn out, so that we can recover from burnout, so that we can be happy. We need to decide what is the priority. And the priority really is your health and your happiness, because if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. It's not selfish.
Well, and I think that, you know, there's people that are like, it's not help. They live here too. Okay, fine. We don't need to call it help, right? We don't need to call it help. But there is a really strong truth to, it's not going to be done your way if you are not the one doing it. So you have to decide whether it is more valuable to you to have time or to have perfection.
Ooh, to have time or perfection.
You have to, if you want perfection, then you are going to take the time and fix everything. You can't make people do things the way you do them. In fact, and you're not a leader in your household, right? But if you are a leader in a business, if you are leading a team, if you are in a company and you have people that work for you, your job is to encourage them to do the job in the way that suits them best within certain parameters, like the towels actually have to be washed, the Excel sheet actually has to be filled out. But you are not supposed to be creating robots who do things like you. You're supposed to be encouraging people to become more themselves. That's your job. So this is a job that happens everywhere. Are you trying to create clones? Is that what you're doing? Are you so great that we need extras of you and that everything should be done your way? I don't know. I'm not that great.
And the perfection doesn't really matter. It's, you know, I learned this term DFM from the guys over at supermind.us. And DFM doesn't fundamentally matter. Or you could use the dirty version, which I do. DFM. Yeah. I'm like, I get, you know, heated about something. I'm like, wait, DFM. And the housework should be the last thing that we care about. And, you know, I did use the word help, but I'm definitely a feminist. But, like, sometimes we take it too far and we focus on the, it shouldn't be help, you live here too. How about we just get it done and then we can change the narrative as we go? Yeah, can you help me with this? Can you help us with this? Instead of saying, you live here too, you should just do this, da-da-da-da-da. Which one do you think is going to get the job done? Thank you. Thank you for doing this for us. Thank you. You know, the house looks great. Thank you for... You don't have to be like watching your own children. I used to be like that. And I'm like, wow, I'm just literally shaming him for actually, yeah, you're helping me. If it was my job to do this at this time, like let's say Thursdays from 6 to 8, I put her to bed and now you do it. That is help. Like, you know, so we have to watch our language. Like sometimes I get on social media and then I'm all, yeah, go women. And like, you know, most men really do just want you to be happy. And most of them will help you. And they're of course the outliers and the terrible ones, but with them, maybe you have to train them or leave them. We don't know. Yeah. Love them or leave them, but either way, find a way to get your needs met and just get creative with it. You know, like I've talked to people before, a very specific person who she would present problems and then be like, and I would present solutions. So I got into this codependent relationship and I would present like really logical. Oh, no, no, that would never work. Oh, no, no, that would never work. Well, have you thought about this? No, that would never work. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I was being codependent. I'd walk away drained, which when you're burned out, the last thing you want to be is drained. And the reality was she didn't want me to solve her problems. She just wanted to complain and have me listen. And so I realized when I just listen, the conversation ends a lot quicker. So
it doesn't cost you as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm an empath too, like where I like take on, you know, people's problems. So I've had to really rein myself back from taking on everybody else's problems and just say, wait, what about my issues? Am I doing that so I can distract from my own issues?
Yeah.
Oh, so much worse. It's something I can solve and feel like I'm winning. Well, what about my own life? Okay. So write down 10 ways that this problem could be solved. And only you can solve your issues of burnout. If I can leave you with anything, it's like Mel Robbins says, I said it before, I'll say it again. No one is coming to save you. And when I realized that, no doctor could save me. I mean, I thought, every time, this doctor is going to be the one. They're going to figure out what's wrong with me and cure it. And then I realized, oh, no, I have to change my entire life. And I'm in the position, luckily, where I had the time and the freedom to be able to do that. I mean, it cost me a lot, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, all of the things, because there was like periods where I couldn't work. I mean, if you can't talk, it's really hard to work. And, you know, as a voice coach and all those things. But there's always a way, and it's just getting creative. And if you're dealing with anxiety or depression, you know, those are medical conditions. There are things you can do. I am not against medication. I'm saying use whatever you have to use to feel better and don't let anybody shame you. But once you can get
especially
yourself.
Especially yourself. Like, don't shame yourself for it either. I know so many people that never started taking meds because they were judging themselves before they even got to the point of taking them. Like, sometimes you just need to get over the hump.
Right. And they've been telling themselves, it means I'm broken if I'm taking this, or it means I'm like that other crazy person I know. No, it just means that like you need a little bit of help, and it's okay to get help. You don't have to do it alone. And anytime I get depressed, I always think, I have to do it all. I'll do it all alone. And then I have this one friend, and she's a motivational speaker. And she's like, honey, you don't have to do it alone. And I'm like, easy for you to say. And then I'm like, wait, you're a single mom. Okay, I'll back it up. You don't have to do it alone. There are always somebody you can reach out to if you get creative enough. You know, there's a church, there's somebody. Like if you can't pay your electricity bill, there's oftentimes a church will help you out. There's always somebody. So it's just opening up your mind to the options to get where you want to go, because anything truly is possible, but it might not happen overnight. And burnout takes years often to recover from. But what you learn in the process is to become the version of yourself that you wanted to be anyway. And yes, it's expensive. It costs you a lot in the moment and it's painful, but who you become because of it versus in spite of it. I had to decide the whole phrase, would I let this make me bitter or better? And that was really hard to do in the moment when you're dealing with the mental health aspect of it. But I just decided, okay, I'm going to be better. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure this out. And so just try to, you don't have to be positive in the moment, but try to look for your own solutions because nobody else has them. You know, we can all just tell you what worked for us, or what, if you're reading a study that, you know, walking can help you reduce stress, like, try it. You just keep trying things. It's kind of like the same strategy when you don't know what career you want to go into, when you're making a career change, or when you don't know what hobby to take on. A lot of moms lose themselves after they have kids and they're like, or after they get married, or just even in aging where they're like, I don't even know what I like anymore. Well, try everything, you know, find the free things. If you don't have the money, there's always like some kind of free, like yoga in the park, or you just keep trying things until something sticks, and something will eventually stick if you don't give up. But it's a matter of knowing that it will get better. This is not forever. Everything is temporary. And if you just keep telling yourself that and then looking for the light, it will eventually, it will expand and it will fill you up. And then eventually you become the light. And as the more light that you can give to others and the more that you can shine, and actually the more you can help others and be there for them, the less your problems seem. So, you know, like in the programs, you know, the program AA, they tell you, like, if you're feeling like you want to you know, drink or you're feeling down and out, they tell you to call somebody else and make their day. And it gets you off your own problems. So you can almost give to heal. So if you're sick, you can almost, like, not a contagious thing, right? But if you're sick, you could go to a hospital and see people sicker and, like, just hang out with the old people and talk to them. I used to go to nursing homes and sing to them. And there's nothing that can make you feel like that. And that costs you nothing but time. And if you say you don't have any time, then maybe it's something else. Maybe it's on your lunch break at work. You know, you come by and share half a sandwich with somebody.
The simple things.
Just the little things. And it won't solve all your problems, but it'll help each day be a little bit better. And if each day is a little bit better, then your body's in a better position to heal and recover from burnout.
Right, fam. This is yet another reminder that the small things add up over time. Often your burnout recovery will feel impossible because it does feel like that sometimes. And the things that are often suggested feel too small. This is another reminder, another, because we say this a lot. Those small things add up and do help to create your recovery. You will discover yourself. You will find things that really work for you. You will hear something on the podcast that you're like, that totally worked for me. And you'll hear something else and be like, that was bullshit for me. All of that is fine. Little things, keep doing them. Keep choosing yourself. Put yourself in the equation of your life, as my co-pilot Sarah likes to say. And understand that the amount of things that had to come together for you to find yourself here are bigger than you, but the recovery is not. Aria, where should people look for you and find you?
Kate, thank you so much for having me today. I didn't expect us to go this deep. It was a really great conversation. I love what you do and what you do for your audience. I know they love you. You guys can find me on Aria Johnson Official on Instagram, or you can find my podcast, Behind the Glitz, From Burnout to Lit, all places that podcasts play. I would love to connect with you guys. Reach out, DM me. If you search Aria Johnson, you'll find everything.
Right, fam, as per usual, what I want for you for this episode and for every episode is to find a moment of healing for yourself. Choose one thing, and move forward with it. Keep us posted, tune back in, leave us a review, and we'll see you next time.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.